Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell, and they call me the Trainer of Champions. Today, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to this Christmas special on boxing. On the line, we have our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, coming to you live. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. How's it going? Hey. Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah, how's Santa treating you, Bob?
Oh, Santa's doing good. He's busy, but he's still got some time for me.
Yeah. Hey, look. I think I've been pretty nice. I think Santa's going to be all right. He done made the list. He's checking it twice, and he's going to find out if I was naughty or nice. It looks like I've been nice.
Yeah, kind of balances out, though. I think you're on the positive side of nice.
Well, I want to wish you while we're on air here, Bob. You know, our boxing historians, Tony Trim, who's in Portland visiting his family, we like to wish him a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He will be back in January when he gets back to Las Vegas. You know, Tony comes to us live from Las Vegas. So we wish him, and also something that Henry Haskup, he was supposed to be on the show today. However, we're doing a Christmas special on Jack Johnson on the 26th. So we want you to tune in on the 26th, and Henry Haskup will be back on the 26th. And the reason why, we want to wish our condolences, Bob, to Larry Hazard and his family. Larry Hazard is the New Jersey Boxing Commission. I know it's tough around this time of year, especially when you lose a spouse. And our condolences and the 10 count for the family and Larry Hazard. But our historian is there, Larry Hazard, at the funeral. The funeral is starting now, the procedure of the funeral, and Henry Haskop, and a guest that we were supposed to have on there, Jimmy Benz, who was the WBA lawyer for a long, long time, who's also there at the funeral, and we're being well represented, Bob.
Yes, I know. It's a shame, especially around the holidays. It just adds that extra sadness, you know, and it, one of the things is that all the years from now on, you know, you kind of have that little dark cloud hanging over your head saying that, you know, that. It's just one of those things that just the timing's bad, but we do wish our condolences. And also I want to take the moment to just thank all our guests that have been on since we began this show back in September. You know, just everybody have a great, safe holiday too, you know. And, we're still here. We're going to be doing our show this week, next week, kind of the end of the year show, and we'll probably do some reviewing next week about what happened over the course of the year, a little bit of that today too, but you and I, we're ready to go today, and we got some news to talk about too, so a lot of things happening, so yeah, it's going to be a good show. We're ready to go.
Well, what's going on around the world in boxing, Bob?
Well, you know, not much going on in the States, though. The United States kind of taking the next couple of weeks off. No real big fights planned here stateside, but doesn't mean there isn't any fighting going around on the rest of the world. And a couple things going on tonight down in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We have super lightweight Martin Coggi. He's 34-7-3. He's taking on Herman Benitez, who's 19-2. It's a battle of hometown Argentines. Also, Roberto Sosa fights Carlos Farias in a fight between flyweights. Also tonight in Istanbul, Turkey, at the Silence Hotel. Hopefully it's not going to be too quiet when you got a good fight going on. You have undefeated Umut Kamkirian taking on Goran Delic. He's 31-2. And that's for the vacant WBC Mediterranean heavyweight title. A couple heavyweights working their way up the ranks. Also, Yavuz Ertuk, 24-1. He's also known as Jonathan England. He clashes with Nicolas Kokashvili. He's 21-10-1. That's a super featherweight matchup. And also going on today, over in Deauville, France, we have the undefeated Yannick Dehaze, 15-0-1. He's taking on Romain Nemery for France's welterweight title. Also in Florence, Italy today, super middleweight Dragon Lepe, 12-1-2, battles Joseph Ratz. In Berlin, undefeated cruiserweight Ninad Pagonis, 7-0, faces off with David Gorgoladze. Also, two undefeated middleweights go at it. Zeynel Elbir, he's 10-0. He steps in with Alexander Zemkov, 5-1. Also 10-0, Patrick Wojcicki battles Anatoly Hunanyan, 7-3. In Tokyo, two up-and-coming undefeated featherweights, Ren Sasaki and Shuto Takase, meet up. Also, welterweight Hironori Shigeta battles Rikuto Adachi. Also, middleweights, Shuji Kato and Junji Tokuyama do battle. Also, in the Philippines today, oh, these fights are just about ready to start right now with the time difference. We have the interim WBC Asian Boxing Council Continental Bantamweight title up for grab as Carl Jamez Martin, he's 6-0, taking on RT Bamrung Ugaye. Also undefeated flyweights, Prince Andrew Lawrence fights Julius Bala. And there's also a show tomorrow night, Christmas Eve. That's in Japan. It features undefeated super heavyweight Takuya Uehara. He's 13-0. He's battling a newcomer, Takuya Yamamoto, who's 1-3. Christmas Day, there's a fight going on, too, in West Vlaanderen, Belgium. It's a card featuring welterweights Mariton Karaksha, 16-4-1, battling Bernard Falea. Super middleweight Matingu Kandele faces off with Francis Tichafo. And veteran super lightweight Hedi Slimani, 27-4, he fights Innocent Anyanwu, overall record of 25-26-3. Also, female bantamweight Jill Serin, 3-0. She takes on Amra Okugic, who has yet to win in six pro fights. So even though not too many big fights going on that happen here in the States, we do know that there is some action going on, too. And some other stuff going on later this week in Bangkok, Thailand, on Thursday. You have a 17-year-old up-and-coming Futafong Rakun. He's 4-1. He takes on Kobolbek Tuolabiev in a battle of super featherweights. Yudichai Wanawong steps in against Witisak Sawue in a super bantamweight clash. Also, Wanjai Niangahasa fights Sufakit Kamfa in a light flyweight matchup. Next Saturday in Kanagawa, Japan, 14-0, Naoya Inoue goes against Juan Boya. He's a veteran. He's 41-4. That's for the WBO World Super Flyweight title. Also on that card, undefeated Ken Shiro, 11-0. Takes on Gilberto Pedroza, 18-3-2, for the WBC World Light Flyweight title. The OPBF featherweight title will also be on the line next Saturday as up-and-coming Satoshi Shimizu battles Eduardo Mancito. Super Bantams Takuma Inoue steps in to face veteran Kentaro Masuda. And I don't think those Inoues are actually related. I couldn't find any news on that. But I do have some good news to pass on, too. It was reported this week that Swedish boxer Erik Skoglund, he has been awakened from his medically induced coma. The super middleweight had fallen ill after a training session with blood on the brain. He remains in intensive care, but doctors believe the life-threatening stage has passed, and that's good news for the family and friends of Erik Skoglund, the Swedish boxer who was... And there's a lot of other news happening, too, as far as some people getting up and ready to go and do some fighting. How about this one? We have Shannon Briggs, 46 years old. He's 66-1. And, you know, as you well know, too, Aaron, he holds the record for first-round knockouts of any heavyweight champion in history at 35 first-round knockouts. And he wants to come back. So he got this guy. You know, I saw a picture of him. He looks like Santa Claus. He's got the gray hair, long gray hair. He's got the gray beard. He wants to come in. We were talking earlier, maybe he should step in and put James Toney in there with him. You know, we'll see what happens there. That would be a good matchup of the old-timers. What do you think of that one?
Hey, look, James Toney and him will be a great matchup. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah.
And James Toney's always biting at the bit. If you tell James Toney, hey, we want you to fight King Kong, James Toney's ready. You know what he said when he was
on top of the Empire State Building? He fought him on top of the Empire State Building.
I said, yeah, I would have lined him up, but I didn't know how much I was getting out of the deal, James. You know, but He will fight anybody anytime. That James lights out Tony. He's really something. Hey, that'd be a pretty good matchup. You know what I mean? Tony, he don't turn nothing down but his collar, and he presses that. You know what I mean? What a Hall of Famer, all-time great, former heavyweight champion. I think that's a great matchup.
Yeah, it'd be great to see. There'd be some interesting promotion going on for that one, too. That'd be fun to see. Now, did they ever overlap at all? I mean, I'm not sure of the history there. You might know a little bit more. You know, over the course of time, where were they at? Was Tony before or after or during the time of Briggs?
Yeah, he was before Briggs and at the time of Briggs. You know, James Tony was, you know, he was around a long time. He had a long career. Don't forget,
right.
He moved up to the heavyweight division. You know, he came through
right.
the middleweights, light heavyweights. So, you know, he was around in that time, you know.
Right. And what do you think about Briggs, man? I mean, that was something I had forgotten all about, the fact that he had that record, first-round KOs, man, 35. That's a lot of quick fights.
Well, James Tony, Briggs, he was at Cliffsville. He was over there taunting him, you know, he was traveling around, you know, he was trying to make a fight with Klitschko. Anthony Joshua ended up fighting Klitschko, but every turn and every corner, he was always there, you know, on the scene, on the screen, you know, trying to make it happen. Great promotional job that he did, but he just couldn't get it. You know, he's going to have to come up with more of a gimmick like George Foreman did. You know what I mean? George Foreman, a tremendous puncher, gold medalist in the Olympics in Mexico City. George Foreman, he stayed in exile for 10 years, retired from boxing. When he came out from boxing, you know, he came up with this game plan and this image with him sitting in a rocking chair, eating burgers and all of that kind of stuff. And he said, I'm going to belly bang you. You know what I mean? I eat the burgers to get the belly bigger. It gives me more strength. George Foreman went and start knocking guys out. And he kept that going, and he had – you know, some great legends in his corner with Angelo. He went and got Angelo Dundee, who was with Ali when Ali knocked him out, and Archie Moore and his brother and them. You know, he had a team and a squad. And let me tell you, them old timers came up with something, and that's what a guy like Shannon Briggs is going to have to do. Shannon Briggs is going to have to, he's going to have to get some well-known old-timers that know the game, can talk the game. They can get him in the right spot. He can come out here and fight some people. And let me tell you, for George Foreman to get into that position, he didn't fight no easy fights. And Michael
right.
Moore and them and Teddy Atlas, they thought they had an easy run at it. And with George Foreman, so they bit. And when they bit, George Foreman bit. You know, eyes swollen and everything, and that famous old power of George straight down the pike, hit Michael Moore down on the deck, he went. And at
right.
his age, I believe it was 49, he becomes heavyweight champion of the world all over again. What a blessing. That's the God's grace. And I think that's what Shannon Briggs is trying to do.
Right,
but,
yeah, he wants to. There's a lot of people standing there. Now, we got some interesting heavyweight news there. It looks like the Joshua Parker fight's going to happen, too, and also the Wilder Ortiz. They're talking about March 3rd. That's looking very solid right now at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn for those two undefeated heavyweights, plus the Joshua Parker thing. They're finally getting themselves settled in. So those are a couple of good things we have looking forward to in 2018 as well.
Well, but the Joshua Parker fight, Parker talked it, he walked it, he set himself out, he got the PR going in the front end of the deal, right? And he was biting at the bit, blah, blah, blah. But his numbers, when he came in to cut the deal, was realistically, You know, he's going to make more money in this fight if he would have had six or seven title defenses. But he has the chance to beat the man who people feel is the man at this time in the heavyweight division, Anthony Joshua. He's accepted the challenge by negotiating real well. I think his deal is a great deal. Parker, what he's going in there for, Pac Stadium with Anthony Joshua. I think this is going to be an exciting fight, man. This is what it's about. The best fight the best. And I think that's what you'll see when them two fight. You're going to see exciting and explosive fight on both ends. You know, they think them guys from down under can fight, but them guys from down under, they may look a little soft, but let me tell you, they can go at it. And with this, with Wilder and the fight with Ortiz, you know, I believe Wilder made the right choice. If he wants a high number of negotiation coming in, beat somebody or knock out somebody that everybody thinks can fight. And they don't think he's going to win this fight. But let me tell you, this kid, Anthony Wilder, is a tall, lanky kid. You know what I mean? But he can snack, crackle, and pop, man. His punches don't look much because of his long arms and his long legs, but the end result is on the chin and on the button. And my thing is if Wilder can work on turning his knuckles over on shots. You know, a lot of times he's hitting guys and knocking guys out by a smack. He ain't turning his knuckles, so I'm surprised he hasn't hurt his hands yet. And maybe that's the reason why he had a shoulder injury. But his end result with his punches, he needs to turn his knuckles over in shots on punches. And when he works on turning that left hook over and hit with his first two lead knuckles and his right hand, turning it over that straight down the pipe like he hits the Vern with, turning his knuckles over on punches, he really is going to be something to reckon with. Now, in a big fight, somewhere you're going to have to take a big shot. And we know with Ortiz, he can deliver the big bombs. And if he can limit his times of getting hit with the big bombs, he has a great chance of knocking him out, too.
Yeah, they're both undefeated, too. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Somebody's going to go, yeah.
Hey, you never know how good an undefeated fighter is until he fights somebody that can fight, and the public thinks that he's up against somebody that can fight. That's what makes a great matchup. This is a great matchup in New York, and hats off to them, because now what they did was, since they priced themselves out of the thing with Joshua, them two made a pact, well, let's me and you fight. And I think that's a great thing, because the winner – hey, that's the challenge for Anthony Joshua, them two. And if whoever wins, if they win by knockout in this fight, I think at the negotiating table for Anthony Joshua, they're going to get a lot more.
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to be good, too. So we have that to look forward to. Hey, also, you know, the World Boxing Super Series is going to continue starting pretty soon, in about a month or so. The semifinals, and then the finals will be going on later on in the spring and summer. But there's a big one coming up on February 3rd over in Sochi, Russia. You have the WBA Cruiserweight champ. We're talking about two undefeated guys going at it. That's Junior Dodikos. He's 22-0 with 21 knockouts. He's taking on the IBF champ in Murat Gassiev, who's 25-0 with 18 knockouts. So there's a couple of cruiserweights that are looking to go at it here in this World Boxing Super Series. And we'll be talking more about that as it gets going into the new year and those fights start getting a little more closer. But that's just something I wanted to bring up, too, because it looks like that's going to be a really interesting match. Cruiserweight division, too. Not a lot of action going on in that cruiserweight. We haven't talked about them too much, so it'd be nice to get some action happening there in the light heavies and the cruiserweights. and see what happens there. That's going to be really fun to watch that stuff over the course of 2018, this World Boxing Super Series, which all culminates in winning the Muhammad Ali Trophy. It's the first time they're doing it, and it's building steam. I think so.
Building steam, that tournament, and with a name like Muhammad Ali's Trophy, that's a great thing. But keep in mind, yesterday or last night, Evander Holyfield with the WBC, they're playing an 8-man welterweight tournament in the great name, the tournament, the Invitational. Jose Suleiman, who was the president of the WBC for a long time, they're naming the tournament a welterweight tournament, Bob. And boy, this is good for boxing, because in these tournaments, what happens, Bob, is that you will have guys that may be sitting lower down in the ratings, like number 6, number 7, number 8, that would have to wait a long time to get a title shot as the titles guy defends his title. It gives them immediate way to the top. You know what I mean? Because you're having the best fight the best, and once you win on the top after fighting all of these named contenders and stuff like that, not only do you have contenders in your repertoire, right, you have more appeal because you beat guys that people know that can fight.
Right. Exactly. No, that's an interesting idea. That's going to be fun to watch that, too, because it's that one and done. It's a tournament. And, you know, winner take all kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things. And let me tell you, for the Evander Holyfield with Real Deal Promotions, you know, Evander Holyfield is getting out there, man. He's trying to make things happen, you know, and promoting fights and doing all kind of PR for charity. You know, in Atlantic City, the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame, he's being inducted into that, but you know, he's getting out back out there again. And hats off to him. I hope that the tournament goes very well. And let me tell you, when you have a WBC belt, is recognized around the world as being one of the best organizations in boxing, you're a champion of champions to win that belt, because they're a solid organization. And Mauricio Suleiman, who's president now, and Jill Knott Diamond, who's the president of WBC Cares, they do such a fabulous job doing what they do, and him being president. You know, they're always on the cutting edges of stuff, Bob, with things. You know, community work. You know, I'm a WBC ambassador. You know, feeding people, handing clothes out, giving people awards that need awards, you know, all of these great things that they do to make things happen for boxing. And this is what keeps the young involved, because without the young, boxing don't have no future. And right now, the future of boxing is looking great.
Yes. Yeah, you know, every week we pull out one of these names, like these 16, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids that, you know, some of them are still in high school, and they're making a name for themselves. They're up and coming. You know, that's what we like to do here on the World Boxing Review, is look at, you know, not just the old and the new and the going on right now, but we've tried to span the whole thing, span the globe, and look for these up and comers. But you know, I just wanted to get back to something else too. Speaking of big matchups that are looking like they're getting done, is that's that middleweight championship bout, you know, Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin, you know, Triple G and Canelo. That looks like May 5th is the date. So, you know, I guess they're still dotting I's and crossing T's on it. But, yeah, that's one of those big fights coming up on Cinco de Mayo this year. And, you know, we also have Billy Joe Saunders. You were impressed with his fight against Lemieux. And I thought, man, this guy can take on both these guys with no problem, too. So the middleweights are going to be something to talk about coming up, too.
Hey, look, Billy Joe Saunders, you know, like he said he was getting ready to give up boxing when he fought Mew, before, you know, everything. And with this win, he says, you know, he boxed, man, to fight a puncher like that, Lemieux, let me tell you, he boxed his tail off. You know, styles make fights. And the style that Billy Joel Sanders has, I think, will give Triple G and Canelo Alvarez trouble.
Right.
I think that trio, once they're finished with him, I think Billy Joe Sanders should make a bid at it because styles make fights. And I think
right.
he has the style to give both of them trouble.
You know, he almost shut out Lemieux, you know, as far as the points. I mean, that was a fight. He showed what boxing's all about there the other week.
And Lemieux can punch, man. He's a devastating puncher. And he has the style to give both of them trouble, Triple G and Canelo Alvarez. He has the style, Billy Joe. So looking down for 2018, man, boxing's looking good in that middleweight division, man. With this win, Billy Joe Sanders, man, let me tell you, if you can get that trio thing going for back in the day with, you know, with Duran, Hagler, and Tommy Hearns, Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, all them guys had all
yeah.
this going on. If these guys, Triple G and all, they can make all of this happen. But, man, 2018 for boxing is looking good, Bob.
Yeah, what do you think about this other news happening here? You know, Mayweather with the UFC thing now, they're making him an offer to step over into the octagon there, you know. And I just want to point out too, you know, as far as looking back on the year, that fight, the McGregor Mayweather fight, there were 4.3 million buys on that pay per view. That grossed over $600 million. That's a lot of money, you know. And we talked before about Mayweather. He looks for the money, and you know, what do you think? Do you think he's going to bite on that? I'd be curious to see. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that.
Mayweather, that's why they call him the money man. You know, the money man, you know, he said he ain't thinking right now about the UFC or boxing. But let me tell you about the money man. The money man, he accepts challenges. He accepts challenges if the money's right. That's why they call him the money man. Let me tell you, at his age, you know, Mayweather's not a young man considered in boxing. Being that he lives good and takes good care of himself outside of the ring, you know, what a lot of fighters don't do. You know, Mayweather, he takes good care of, you know, people hate him, dislike him. Mayweather's the type of fighter that a lot of people want to see him win, and a lot of people want to see him get his butt whooped. And when that happens, you're in a 50-50 mold. You put butts in the seat. People tune in on the scene and on the screen. That's what that's what they do with Mayweather. And if that fight didn't gross that much, boxing pay-per-view would have been hurting for 2017. And let me tell you, and this is not to say anything bad about Triple G. Yeah, he can fight. They want to say he's pound for pound. Pound for pound means is that overall, not only can you box, you have public appeal. And you not only do you have public appeal, but you can put butts in the seats and people tune in on the screen. And people read about you in the newspaper, you know, and that's what Mayweather does. Now, Canelo Alvarez is a different story. He's there. He's a sales. But Triple G, no. You know, his pay-per-view buys, him fighting anybody else, ain't even 200-some thousand buys. You know what I mean?
Right.
When Alvarez, he fought Alvarez, yeah, it was Alvarez. Until Triple G, when he can get by himself, no matter who he's fighting, bring them numbers up to a high level, how can you be pound for pound the best fighter in the world? It's all around. It just ain't about boxing skills. There's plenty of boxers out there that can box their tail off. But you don't know about them because they ain't put nobody in the seats or on the screen. Okay? So, you know, this that's what it's all about. And then that's not a, that's a challenge. It's not a knock, Bob. It's a challenge to his promotional team and him. You don't do your PR work, man.
You know, speaking of numbers, here's some other numbers to throw out at you.
Like you can fight, man. Get a promoter that can get under you, that can promote you, to bring you out to that level. Because let me tell you, that they don't like Mayweather one. He's a great promoter when it comes to himself now. He walks it and talks it, bro.
All right. Hey, you know, I was just going to say, here's some other number. 284,000 viewers for the Horn fight. You know, that was at 6:30 in the morning here on the East Coast, like 3:30 out in L.A. time. That's a lot of numbers for a morning fight. And now you're talking about pound for pound, Terrence Crawford. That's a big thing. But, yeah, there's a rumor this week, too, he might want to fight Mundine, too. So, you know, there's a couple things happening there, too. Speaking of a guy who knows what he's doing and promoting himself right, you know, that's 284,000 viewers at 6 o'clock in the morning. It's a pretty good number in my book.
Hey, let me tell you what about Horn. Now, Crawford can fight. God can outright one of, you know, up in that top three, one, two, three, you can go either way with Crawford, but Crawford can outright fight, okay? Now, Bob Arum said maybe in April it looked like Horn and Crawford's going to fight. They're saying it's a done deal. This is what Bob Arum is saying. But on that, Manny Pacquiao said he's coming back out to fight. Okay.
Right, he's talking April, too, yeah.
Yeah, now, but let me tell you about Horn. This kid, well, he's not a kid, he's a man. But Horn's the type of fighter, guys, look at him, says, there's no way this guy can, what, he beat Pacquiao. Look at this guy. He has a look, you know, GQ liked his look so much, they put him on the cover of GQ.
Made a man of the year, yeah.
yeah, he has this look. And let me tell you, sometimes looks can be deceiving. Guys look at him like Crawford, who can fight now, always ready. If he don't think in April that he's up against somebody can fight on his level and that he got an easy walk on the park, you might see I wouldn't call it an upset, but supposed to win may not win. You know what I mean? With Horn, this kid can fight, man. Horn can fight. Now, with the win over Pacquiao, they called it controversy, and that's, you know, a lot of that happened. That's Teddy Atlas, you know, with his outrageous comments. Like it or not, the kid won. He got the decision and victory. He came back, he got 11-round knockout, his first title defense, okay? And to accept the challenge, man, for this champion, Horn, against a Crawford, I think is excellent. I think he's on a confident whirlwind, and let me tell you, this is a fight worth looking at.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in April. Oh, man. That's what I'm saying. 2018 for boxing is looking great. Now, if these guys fight like they're supposed to fight, train like they're going to train, man, let me tell you, boxing is made a comeback second to none in terms of the fights that are happening with the best fighting the best. Man, boxing fans, just tune in, man. Keep your eyes and ears on for these shows, man. It's boxing's happening in 2018.
And it's happening up and down the whole level, too, from all the way down to, you know, the mini fives and those guys. You know, that guy over there in Thailand who's 49-0, and then there's actually a guy over there who's even better than he is, they're calling it. And you know, there's a lot of fights even happening in these other divisions. You know, we're talking about the middleweights, and we're talking about the heavyweights and the light heavies and everything else. It's top to bottom. and all throughout. There's a lot going on all over the world too. You know, just every time you turn around, there's going to be somebody going at it. Like next Saturday night, the WBC World Light Flyweight title fight going on over there in Japan. So you just look around, they're out there, you know, and you can catch up on all this stuff too by listening to the World Boxing Review, because we're going to tell you about it.
No, absolutely. Hey, the World Boxing Review, look, for 2018, you're talking about great, Bob. Now, you know, we've been in meeting together. What can we do to improve the World Boxing Review show? And we talk with our historians, and we talk. We're going to start a boxing trivia that we're going to use, too, where people can email a boxing trivia question in. And that trivia question, one of the historians or myself or Bob, we will answer. And we will put it over the air, who asked the question and what the answer is. We'll do it on the air and online, too, when we promote our show on Twitter and Facebook. And also, we're working on we do have the website domain, and it's all being worked out how we want the website to look. But we're going to have a website. You can tune in and see different things. But the stream live so people can see. Now, we already have posted online video promotions of the show. You know, Bob,
right.
Me and you talking, with yourself talking, telling people to tune into our show. But the stream video live while we're talking, that is for 2018. And that's going to be something to look forward to for 2018. We're trying to build this thing, and I think we're headed in the right directions. And for our fans to know, is that you being a fan of the World Boxing Review, you are connected to people all around the world. You know, our show is being listened to in all the English speaking countries around the world, Bob, as you well know.
That is beautiful, yes.
And when we start getting more Hispanic interviews and stuff like that with Hispanic fighters and Latino fighters and African fighter and Japanese fighters, we're going to get viewership with them too. We have some, but it ain't up to the level that's noteworthy. In the United States, Canada, England, Norway, Australia, Iceland, all of these places, we have a large listening audience that are listening to us, Bob, about this boxing. And we are truly, and we ain't fake news.
No, we're not.
There's no fake news going on here. This is stuff that is happening. The reason why we give it to you on Saturday is because Saturday is a day when a lot of fights happen. On Saturday is a big one, the TV dates. So we want to give you the time, or something may happen before a match. You tune in, you can hear it here of what's going on. You know, something crucial may happen. But that's why we do our show on Saturday like this, and to help promote events. People can get out to the shows and they may catch it and, hey, run over this place, run over that place, and to watch it live. You know what I mean? Or tune in on the scene or on the screen. So, hey, look, man, 2018 for the World Boxing Review radio show is great. And not only that, we're going to we have a blog. We're going to be blogging information about boxing, the legends, the past, present, and future stars. But also, we're going to be podcasting, too, you know, along with streaming and all of that. So, hey, look, you're going to we're building, and our listening audience is growing, too.
Hey, I want to pass along the email address, too, since we do have the email account. That's theworldboxingreview@gmail.com. So, you know, you can always welcome to throw your comments in, too, to our listeners out there, theworldboxingreview@gmail.com. So let us know what you think, too. So we want to be doing more interaction is basically what we're getting at here to our audience. We want to get more people involved in just commenting and letting us know what you think about it and take it from there and see how we do next year as we move on.
Yeah, and Bob, also, if you're in boxing, hey, and nobody will give you a chance to be interviewed or you want to get something out, hey, look, all you got to do is send us an email or call us.
That's right.
Hey, I want to be on the show. You know, people's done that. We put them on. Hey, bing, bing, bing. We go with it. And for 2018, that's what we're going to be doing. You know, if you're a young and up-and-coming fighter, you want a chance, look at Christy Martin. You know, she did a show. She's trying to get some PR. You know, she called. Hey, she lined the guys up. Next thing you know, we're listening to all of these young fighters who are 5-0, 8-0, 11-0. And, wow. And you get a chance to hear them young in the career. And then you can follow them. You know, they this is how guys get up to that TV level and that championship level. And to catch them when they're young, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when that whole Christy Martin thing, I still remember, you know, those young men that we had on were very articulate. They were very good. You know, they knew what they were talking about, and they sounded like they had been around for a long time, but they're just these kids. And I was really impressed with their whole mental outlook on things. And it was really pleasant to see, you know, that these are the future of boxing, these young men. And I said, very fine young men too. You know, that's my opinion from that. But that was a nice show. That was one of our better shows of the year. You know, really was happy with that.
Yeah, and Christy Martin has a series of bouts, fights that she's promoting for next year. I believe February, and she's going to come back on next year and talk about the shows that she's doing. So. Hey, Bob, that's good. And don't forget, the Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame is June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And also, we have the Jeffries Barn with the National Boxing Hall of Fame. That's in California. That's the February 17th. And also, April 28th.
April 28th, that's the National Boxing Hall of Fame. And then you're going to be inducted in that, too. Just want to make sure people remember that. That well-deserved honor for you, man. That's going to be great. Trainer of Champions, Aaron Snowell. Here we go.
Yeah, it's a blessing to be going in with that class. Al Bernstein, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, Drew Boudini Brown, Muhammad Ali. He's been inducted. Richie Sandoval, Lupe Pinter. I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah, Jerry Quarry, George Shivalo, all those guys are coming in on that too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a great class that I'm going in with, and I like to thank Bill and Alinda Dempsey for putting my name in for her board and their board to vote on it. And I got voted in, and it's a deed honor to be thought in mind, Bob. Absolutely. And they do a great job out there with the Hall of Fame, too. So we're just going out to the National Boxing Hall of Fame in April 28th. And let's have a good time when we go in. Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, he's going in the same time. Let's... come on out, man, and see all the guys sit around, talk, you know, eat, drink, and be merry.
we'll be doing a show live. And hopefully we'll have our video up and running by then, too, so we'll be able to just do it with the cameras and everything else. That'll be a fun time to look forward to. And also the Atlantic City thing, too. That'll be fun. Yeah, that's the neighborhood here. I you know, get in the car and be in Atlantic City in a couple hours, you know, if you're out here. That's the fun thing about AC. It's right, you know, if you're in Philly, D.C., New York, wherever, man, it's a quick drive. It really is.
Yeah. Hey, look.
And nice highway. Right.
3 days, 1, 2, 3, Evander Holyfield's going into that Hall of Fame. Bob Arum, he's going in.
Hector Camacho.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great class in June. So look, man, it's 2018 is something. Then you got the International Boxing Hall of Fame, you know, and then the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame with Henry Hathcock, Tony Trim, who's our historian for the Nevada Hall of Fame and the National Boxing Hall of Fame and the World Boxing Hall of Fame. He's their historian. Then we have Henry Hathcock, who's our historian, Ring 8, International Boxing Hall of Fame, New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, and Atlantic City Boxing Hall of Fame. He is the boxing historian. So the World Boxing Review has the best of the best. And second to none, we have the radio aficionado, Bob Murray. You know, Bob, let me tell you, people, you know, as they listen to you, we're getting more compliments, man, on the great job that you do at delivering the news from around the world and also the bouts that are coming up. Each Saturday, man, you go down that list, man, Bob, crystal clear, smooth, and some of those names, Bob, man, that are on there, man. You know, you does do a great job at saying those ethnical names crisp, precise, and to the point without missing a beat. Now, sometimes you may trip, stumble, get a little tongue-tied at saying it, but however, you do a great job, and people are complimenting you left and right. And for people who don't know Bob, me and Bob were from the same hometown in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, which is the foothills of the Pocono Mountains. And if anybody knows anything about beer, Yuengling's beer, which is the oldest
beer,
is promoted there. And also, Bob, football started in Schuylkill County, where we're from. The Pottsville Maroons were one of the first teams in the NFL, as you well know. And,
the Pottsville Maroons, they're all share controversy, too. You know, you look back on that whole history, you know, we don't want to get into it too much, but they got robbed, just with the old rules that they had about playing, within your own boundaries and crossing over, and they ended up playing a team in, down in Frankfurt, that was out of their area, and they ended up giving the title to, somebody else, and, it's always been a thorn in the side here. And every now and then the NFL does take a look at it and about reinstating the championship, because they lost that 1925 championship that they won on the field, and they took it away from them. And you'll see every year, many years when it comes up, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles will back us here for the Pottsville Maroons, and everybody else kind of just shrugs it off. But, a lot of people around here take it really seriously. There's a lot of, pro Maroon stuff here in Pottsville. So, we were back there in the days of Green Bay and Chicago and all those teams that were just starting out, man. 1925, that goes back. They were around for a couple years, too, the Maroons, too, and you're right. And it's also the hard coal region, the anthracite coal region, too, which is it's an ethnic background here. We got a lot of people that – just from all different walks of life that settled here over the years. And, it's one of those things we always laugh about, some of the things that are unique to Schuylkill County, where, we talk about some of these towns that had a church and a bar in every corner, there was all these different churches, because each of the ethnic, the Italians and the Irish and the blah, 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 they all had their own little churches, and then there were the bars right across the street, And that's where some of those good Irish fighters came out of, I'm sure, There's been some fighters coming out of here, too, We've had our own share of fights coming up out of here, too, the Schuylkill County people.
The NFL, the NFL is the anthracite region football league.
Yes.
The NFL got started in Schuylkill County. So, hey, look, from Jack Johnson, Sam Langford, Joey Burnett, a host of other fighters, including the greatest of all times, Muhammad Ali, all came to Pottsville, Pennsylvania, or Schuylkill County, where Ali was down there in Deer Lake. Because when Cole was king in the mountains and training in the mountains, the air, the region, the fresh air, the people, it's a combination that you can't find anywhere in the world. You know what I mean? And look, Bob, you know Nativity and Pottsville High School. Man, we had some of the best football and basketball teams in that area or in the state. You know what I mean? And plus,
but you know what? But, you know, the girls' teams here, too, you know, there was that remarkable streak that ended, and now it's back again in the, I don't know how many years, but it was like 23 years that there was in the girls' basketball state championship game, Schuylkill County was represented 23 straight years. That's amazing. You know, we got the teams that are different levels, you know, different districts that are different from state to state, but, you know, the smaller schools to the bigger schools, there was always a team from this area playing in the girls' basketball final, state finals. That's just an amazing run. And then a couple years it went away, and now they're back again. And you have teams, these girls are out there winning softball titles, volleyball titles. And, you know, my old school Nativity, they have like six state championships. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, you get the Eastern Finals sometime, and it's two teams that played each other, you know, a couple times already in the league. You know, it's just amazing that, the level of athleticism that comes up. And it starts early, too, as you know, just like even the boxers and everything else. It starts early, the programs, the feeder schools, the grade schools, you know, the coaching, and the training, and just and people getting involved and, you know, helping the, you know. But you have something to reach for, too. You know that when you go to an activity to play basketball as a girl, you go to Pine Grove or some of these other schools, North Schuylkill, you know, these girls have something to shoot for because there is that history behind it, just like there isn't anything else with the boxing and stuff. You know, you're carrying on a tradition. And it's good to see that
Bob, alive and well. When I went to high school in Pottsville, I was part of undefeated football teams and basketball teams that I started on. We were undefeated basketball and football under Coach Bill Flynn. You know what I mean? We come from a tradition of winning. But also boxing with Jack Dempsey spent a lot of time in Pottsville, and Tamaqua, Pennsylvania, which is right up the road from Pottsville, they had a good boxing program in the 1900s, 1920. Matter of fact, a couple of them are in the International Boxing Hall of Fame from Tamaqua, that area, where people came from all over, including Jack Dempsey came up there to be a part of that great program that he was running up there in Tamaqua. And also the YMCA in Pottsville is torn down now, but had a great boxing program where people used to come all over and come down to the downtown Y and practice boxing in Pottsville. And
yeah,
also,
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. And then my cousin Bo and Puggy McFarlane and them at the Moose, they had fights at the Moose. They were training boxing down in Schuylkill Haven, and some of them used to go down to Muhammad Ali's training camp and train like I did. So, man, Schuylkill County and Pottsville, that region, produce some of the best when it comes to sports. And I'm just blessed to grow up in an environment that produce winning. And with a good mindset and good to people, and the people in Pottsville and Schuylkill County are great people, you know. But you know, if you want to make it to a certain level, you have to put your show on the road. And that's what I had to do going up there. If it wasn't for Muhammad Ali's training camp, I would have never been able to do what I did, Bob.
Oh, heavens, I know. Yeah, definitely. That guy you started, we had that, talk a couple weeks ago. We were talking about some of the people that came through, and you just mentioned a bunch of them right now, too. But, man, it's amazing the people. We think back of all the people that were right down the road, you know, that were training there at Deer Lake. And, you know, the thing is, you mentioned it briefly, but, you know, we're surrounded by hills. And, you know, there's nothing like, you know, I played some sports, too, in high school. And, man, you had to go out there and run up and down these hills. You didn't run laps around the track, you know. You were going up and down hills, and, you know, and even the cross-country runners, you know, there again, some of the names that came out of this area that were these great runners, you know, male and female. You know, there's a young lady that is in college right now who, plus, we had our share of professional athletes as well, you know, guys that actually made it into pros, pro football players especially. One of my buddies from town here, from Pottsville, he ended up, Pat Flannery was coaching Bucknell University basketball team. They pulled off that great upset that one year in the NCAA tournament, knocking off number one seed Kansas. And, you know, big time there. And, Pat Flannery was playing basketball together, you know.
Pat Flannery, we played on the same team in high school. He was a couple grades up from me. But, Stu Jackson. From Reading, Pennsylvania. He came and played Marks Hall very well, and who ended up being the players personnel for the NBA, Stu Jackson.
Kobe Bryant played up here too.
Yeah,
Kobe played here. Rip Hamilton. Yeah, these guys came up because one of the things that Pottsville has is Marks Hall. It's the mecca of high school basketball. When you get into the playoffs, it's a big arena. People, you know, you have these teams that are coming in from Philly, you know, that feature a Kobe Bryant or a Rip Hamilton. And, you see a lot of great players popping in there. And
the biggest thing for Marks Hall is when we were in junior high school, Muhammad Ali came to Marks Hall. This was when it was first built, and did an exhibition in our junior high school, and we were there part of it as the Ali gang. You know what I mean? Ali came.
Right.
What makes Marks Hall such a great arena, Bob, it's round. And
right.
The boxing, to have a ring in the middle of the ring, sits in the middle, and then you have like a pit. It puts you in a pit that makes it exciting, makes no bad seats in the house, and the running track up on the top of Marks Hall. But, Bob, in closing, what would you like to say in closing? We got 60 seconds, I believe.
Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for their support this year and, just backing us on this venture that we're on, World Boxing Review. We're building our audience, and it's great that people from around the world are tuning in. It's a step up. We used to do this show on terrestrial radio, as they call it, and we had a nice listening audience, but it was limited to, just with the technology at the time, limited to the county. But, it's great to expand what we were doing years ago, and we're looking forward to 2018. And also, everybody out there, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again. You're talking about the show on Tuesday. I'll let you finish up with that. But I just want to say thanks again, and everybody have a happy and joyous New Year. And we'll see you next Tuesday.
Tune in to Tuesday, Boxing Day. Jack Johnson won the heavyweight championship of the world on Boxing Day. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review. My name is Aaron Snowell, and Bob Murray, who is the radio aficionado, we like to wish you a Merry Christmas from all of us, Henry Hascup and Tony Trim, Bob Murray, and Aaron Snow, wish all our fans of the World Boxing Review Merry Christmas.
Right.